As you turn with me again, please, to John chapter 17. Let us pray once more before we come to consider these words the Lord has before us. Our loving God, Father in heaven, we thank thee for our great high priest. Oh Lord, we thank thee for the one who ever lives for us. We pray, Lord, through him, that today that thou wilt speak, that, Lord, that thou wilt move in this place. O Lord, fill me with thy spirit for the proclaiming of thy truth. May I be thy messenger with thy message. And, Lord, fill us all that we may receive it with gladness. That, Lord, that it will touch, Lord, of course, our understanding, but, Lord, also our hearts. O Lord, we ask these things. In Jesus' precious and glorious name, amen. Amen. There are very few things more comforting to a struggling Christian than to know that someone is praying for them. No matter what the struggle is, how we all know we can feel that strength coming into us, strength for the battle, knowing that some brother or sister in Christ is remembering us in the place of prayer. No doubt there are those connected to this congregation who are going through some battle today. Yet they take comfort that you as a congregation are remembering them in prayer. What comfort there is in knowing someone is praying for us. And how much greater the comfort is when we actually hear them praying for us. So it's one thing for somebody to say, "Brother, I'll pray for you." But if we actually hear them praying for us, how much more personal and how much more wonderful and comforting that is. I know I personally can testify of this. I take great comfort and strength from the fact that I know my church family pray for me and my family. I hear them regularly at our prayer meeting praying for us in such regard. I take great comfort in recent weeks, as I mentioned already, I've started my deputations as we were prepared to move to Uganda, and how encouraging it is to sit amongst men and women, some I've never really met before. I've been in churches that I haven't been in the past, meeting with Christians I've never met in the past, yet they are praying for me by name, praying for my wife, praying for my children. How comforting and strengthening that is to hear them pray. How much strength every preacher gets who, before a Sunday service, sits in a little prayer time and hears people praying for them, that the Lord would strengthen them, that the Lord would help them to proclaim the word. Oh, what comfort, what encouragement, what strength there is in knowing and hearing people praying for us. And I'm sure when you have been in need of prayer for yourself or for some loved one, and when that moment you hear you or your loved one mentioned in prayer, it does encourage you. So in short, knowing that someone is praying for you is a great encouragement, and hearing them pray for you is even more so. And in our time together today, I want us to go even further than this. I want us to see a further encouragement of those praying for us. For you see, I want us to dwell on the fact, not that your brother or your sister in Christ is praying for you, but the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ is praying for us. Oh, how much more comfort should we take from the fact that Christ prays for us? Oh, if the praying of a fellow man encourages us, how much more we should be encouraged today, knowing that our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the second person of the Trinity, the God-man, is praying for us. Oh, and how encouraging it would be if we could but hear him pray. To hear him pray for us. To hear him praying for us by name. To hear his prayer. Oh, what an encouragement that would be. I think it was the great Robert Murray McShane who said, "If I could hear Christ praying for me in the next room, I would not fear a million enemies. Yet distance makes no difference. He is praying for me." Oh, if we could hear Christ pray, were there anything we would fear? But the reality is, he is praying for us. We don't need to hear him, but because we can be certain. Oh, it's one thing to say for somebody to say this, "Oh, brother, I'll pray for you." We hope that they mean it, but we're not always that certain, because the reason we're not always that certain because there are not times in our lives where we've said that to somebody, oh, I'll remember you in prayer, and the reality is we don't. But you see, Christ is not like man. Christ is one who is true. Christ is one who is praying for us, and the proof that he's praying for us, and indeed even the words that he prays for us, is given to us. It's given to us here in this portion that we have before us. Here we have Christ praying for us. This portion in John 17 is known as Christ's high priestly prayer. Well, we talk about the Lord's Prayer, and by that we talk about the prayer that he's taught his disciples. Well, really here is more accurately, this here is the Lord's Prayer. This is the prayer that the Lord has prayed. This is the prayer the Lord prays for us. Well, I want us to take encouragement this morning and simply take as a title, take as our theme, as our message, and you take nothing else from what I say. Take these words, Christ prays for us. That's a wonderful thought, is it not? Christ prays for us. Now, as we look at this topic this morning, I want us to see how Christ prays for us and what it is that Christ prays for concerning us. Now, I'm very conscious, even as I read this prayer together, as we read this prayer together, there is so much in this prayer. There's more in this prayer than Christ simply praying for us. And even on that, it's impossible, really, to cover the fullness of this prayer in one message. Never really the sermon this morning. It really, I suppose, is more an overview of this fact that Christ prays for us rather than an in-depth study of the prayer itself. So let us consider this together here today. Let us consider that Christ prays for us. As we do so, let us see firstly, as Christ prays for us, he prays for us specifically. He prays for us specifically. Verses 9 and 10. We read there the words of Christ, his prayer to the Father. He says, I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine, and all mine are thine. And thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. In verse 9, Christ tells us who he does pray for, and also who he does not pray for. In short, we could say Christ prays for a particular people. He is praying for a specific people. He is praying for those who are his own sheep. Brothers and sisters in Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, we can say today is praying for us specifically. What comfort that should bring to us. The Son of God prays specifically for each and every one of us, each and every one who is his. He died for us as individuals, and he prays for us as individuals. You see, there is a teaching out there that Christ came and he died upon the cross, and he paid some general ransom, some general sacrifice with no specific end in view, just simply those who might believe. See, Christ died for a particular people. He died for us. He knew us. He was thinking of us as he died upon that cross. And as he died for us, so he prays for us. Well, these verses show us that he isn't just praying some general prayer for all mankind. But even if he did, even if that was the case, even if Christ did only simply pray some general prayer for all of humanity, what great comfort there should be in that for us. For we don't even deserve even anything like that. But what greater comfort there should be in knowing that Christ prays for his children specifically. Let me illustrate that. Say we marry. Now, I don't know if you have a Mary in your congregation. If you do, I'm sorry, Mary, I'm not talking about you. But say we Mary down the road ask you to pray for her because she is sick. She asks you to pray for her, and you say, oh, yes, Mary, I'll pray for you. She says, no, pray for me now. Say, okay, Mary, so we bow our heads there and then, wherever we're standing, and we say, dear Lord, heal all those who are sick at this time. Now, we Mary, as I have called her, she is covered by that prayer. She is covered by that prayer. She is one that is sick. So, really, we have been faithful. We've prayed for Mary. But how much more comfort we Mary would take if she heard us pray something more like this. Dear Lord, lay your hand upon Mary today, and if it be thy will, heal her. You see, we're still asking the same prayer, but this prayer is specific. It was specifically for Mary. A specific prayer brings great comfort. Never let us take great comfort this morning that no matter what burden you are carrying today, Jesus knows and he can pray and he is praying for you and your needs specifically. Now we will later on, in a moment's time, move on and consider some of those needs for which Christ does pray. But before we do, notice when it was that Christ began praying in such a way for us. You see, as we look at verses 9 and 10, you would be right in saying, well, you know, you're not being truly through to the words here. For in verse 9, he's really here speaking about his disciples. He's speaking about those 11. He's speaking about his apostles. He's not really speaking about us all there. But you see, if we go on to verse 20, we see really what I'm saying. It is true. He is praying for us. He's praying for us specifically. For he says there, neither pray I for these alone. So he's saying, I'm not just praying for the disciples, I'm not just praying for those apostles, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. I am praying for those who will be saved. He's praying for us, brothers and sisters. He's praying for us who at that time were not saved. Well, Christ's prayer on that day were for more than those who were just his disciples on that day. But the future tense for those with them also which shall believe. Dear friends, that is us. Oh, before we were saved, all those years ago, Christ was praying for us. And surely that's an amazing reality, is it not? That while we were living lives of open rebellion against God, before we even existed, and God knew the type of people we would be, he was praying for us. Now, there's much that we cannot understand about Christ praying and his intercession. But surely this is one of those incomprehensible truths. That Christ was praying for us. And we go further and say, Christ has been praying for us. Christ has been praying for me from all eternity. What a wonderful God we have. Well, that should bring great comfort to us. That Christ was praying for us. And this should also bring us another comfort. As you would today pray maybe for your loved ones. As you would pray for your loved ones who are not saved. For those who have maybe are saved but yet have grown cold in heart in their walk with the Lord. Those who would love to see one for Christ. Oh, what comfort we can take this morning that we're not praying for them alone. Oh, I know you are encouraged when you hear your brothers and sisters in Christ pray for your loved ones. And no doubt you do. You're remembering each other's loved ones in the place of prayer regularly. And what comfort and what strength it brings to us that we're not praying alone. But as we would read these words here in verse 20, Christ praying for those who will believe, can we not take comfort, take encouragement today that the Lord Jesus Christ is praying for those loved ones of ours who are yet unsaved. They're still outside the fold. We're not praying for them on our own. Christ is praying today. He's praying for those who will be won in accordance with his will. Oh, taking comfort and encouragement today. Now, Christ is not only praying for us, but Christ is praying with us. Unsaved one, surely there's a message here for you also. You, the one who do not believe. You, the one who has rejected God. You, the one who has not come to Christ for your salvation. Maybe you, the one today who says, no one cares for me. I am alone in this world, and I will fight my battles alone. I'm alone, and I'm independent, and I don't need anyone because I don't have anyone. Know that you today would see that the Lord Jesus Christ cares. He cares enough to pray. And he cared enough to die on the cross for those who will believe. Oh, maybe you have been long prayed for by someone in this church. Maybe the person beside you or in front of you or behind you. But someone in this church has been long praying for you. But you see, there is one greater than that who prays for those who will believe. And from all eternity has been praying, and he would die for them, and yet he continues to pray for them. Dear friend, may that be you. Maybe that be you. May you be one who today will come believing. You today will come believing, knowing that what he's done for you in death. And rejoice and accept what he's continuing to do for you in prayer. Well, today, in looking at this prayer in John chapter 17, we see it is a testimony of the fact that Christ prays for us specifically. Well, see with me, secondly, that he prays for our security. He prays for us specifically. And secondly, he prays for our security. Look at verses 11 and 12. We read there, and now I am no more in the world, But these are in the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name, that those that gavest me I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scriptures might be fulfilled. Here Christ is looking on that to that day, which was coming very soon, that we'd no longer be with his disciples in this world. It was soon coming that he would depart back to his Father in glory. So his prayer is that they who he would have to leave behind would not be left alone. That those that he would have to leave behind would not be left alone, but they would be kept by the power of God the Father. And again, let us see, this desire was not just for those disciples on that day, but Christ continues to pray for all his disciples, past, present, and future. Christ is praying for our security now. He's praying that God will keep us secure in his hand, and that we'll be kept secure until that day that he will call us home. Look at there at verse 24, John 17, verse 24, we read, Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. For he wants us kept secure until the day that we will see him face to face and behold his glory. That's the desire of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's his continual prayer. Oh, today, child of God, we are sure of our eternal security, of our eternal salvation, because of Christ's prayerful intercession. Oh, it's not us who keeps us out, but we have a high priest who ever liveth to make intercession for us. And because he lives, because his intercession is continual, our security is everlasting. Oh, if Christ was to fail to intercede, we would fall. But Christ ever liveth to make intercession for us. Hebrews 7 25 says those very words. It says, wherefore he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Child of God, we must live in this world. That is beyond dispute. But Christ's prayer and desire is that while in this world, we will be kept from the evil, that we will be kept secure. Verse 15 says there in that verse, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but thou shouldest keep them from the evil. We all must confess that it can at times be very difficult to live in this world. How we are taught that even there in the Sermon on the Mount, the words of Christ in the final beatitude, there's there a certainty given that those who live righteous lives, that we will face persecution. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Well, the world is no friend to the Christian. The world would love to tear our salvation from us. It would love to see us fall into sin. Oh yes, Christ has taught us to pray that God would deliver us from evil. That is what that model prayer teaches us. But yet we can come complacent. We can forget to watch and pray lest we enter into temptation. But you see, while he lives, while he intercedes, we can be sure that he is praying for us, that we will be delivered, that we will be protected, that we will be secure from the evil of this world. Well, that surely is covered in those words in verse 15. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but thou shouldest keep them from the evil. Well, not only are we to pray that God would keep us from evil, we have a Savior who without ceasing prays that exactly for us. Christ prays for our security. Let us move on and see another consideration this morning concerning Christ praying for us. See with me, thirdly, he prays for our sanctification. He prays for our sanctification. This really builds upon what we are seeing here. Look at verses 16, 17, and 18. Verses 16 and 17 and 18, you read, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through the truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And verse 19 says, and for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. The Lord Jesus Christ is praying for our sanctification. Sanctification of the believer is the focus of this part of this prayer of Christ. Well, that's verse 16. It doesn't mention sanctification. Yes, the following verses do, but even there in verse 16, sanctification is the theme. For you see, in that verse, it talks about us being not off the world. This here talks about separation. We're not off this world. Oh, we're in the world. We're not off the world. There's a separation, a sanctification from the world. See, separation. Separation is an essential part of the church's sanctification. This is no clearer seen than simply in the meaning of the word that we that is translated as church, the Greek word ecclesia, two words, the word ak meaning out and kalio meaning called. The church are the called out ones. The church are those who are separated, called out of this world, as verse 16 would remind us. Well, separation from this world is a fundamental aspect of our sanctification. Christ is praying for that separation. Christ is praying that we would stay separate from this evil, the sin of this world, that God will continue to work that sanctification in our lives. As these words would say in verse 17 and onward, that through his word and his spirit, that we will be more like Christ. As Christ was separate, as Christ was set apart in this world, he would have us to be also. Verse 18, as thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. Oh, Christ was sent into the world, yet he was separate from the world. And so must we be. See, those today in this world who profess to be a child of God, who will tell you that their sanctification isn't important. The sanctification is just some old fuddy-duddy notion that we don't need it. Let's live how we like. Well, just see how important sanctification is seen to be to the second person of the Trinity. It is so important to him that he makes it the subject of his prayer. Sanctification, being made holy. Oh, it's not an easy thing. It's not easy for any of us. And any child of God who says it easy, says it's easy, have no idea of what true holiness is. It's not easy. Particularly as we live in a more increasingly sinful world. Yet as we had battle against the world, against Satan, and against self, as we had battle against these things to grow in sanctification, rejoice that we battle not alone. Oh yes, we know we have the Spirit dwelling in us, working with us in our sanctification, building us, growing us, changing us, conforming us. But here we're also reminded that we have Christ at the same time praying for those very same things. And surely that should give us great comfort and strength today. Dear friend, is there a sin in your life which is hindering you? Hindering you so much in your sanctification? Is there something in this world which stops you bearing your cross? Is there something that holds you back and you know it and it feels like it's a battle that you cannot win? A battle that is too much. A battle which you've nearly waved the white flag to. Maybe it is something so personal you feel you can't share it with anyone. You're bearing that burden alone. Well, I don't know anything about any of you, so I'm not standing here knowing something about someone and trying to get at you, but maybe that is you today. Maybe that's the way you feel. There's some secret sin. It's got such a grip of you, you feel that that's it. You just have to give in to that sin. You have no one to turn to. You're so ashamed, you have no one to turn to. No one to ask, will you pray for me? But you see, there is one praying. We have one praying for your sanctification. You have one praying for victory over that sin. We'll be encouraged today that Christ is the one who knows. He knows all about your struggles. Knows all about your battles. And he is praying for your sanctification. Well, what a Savior is ours. And before we had finished this morning, of another aspect I want you to consider with me. We have seen that Christ prays for us specifically, that Christ prays for us, prays for our security. He prays for our sanctification. See with me finally that Christ prays for our service. He prays for our service. If you look with me, please, at verse 23. Now, there's much more. This prayer, it's so wonderful. There's so much, but these are our considerations for today. But see with me as we look at verse 23, our final consideration here. He says in that verse he prays, I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. What is to be the purpose of our service of God? What is it? What is our purpose here in life? And we can say man's chief end is to glorify God. That is what we are taught. And how do we glorify God? How is God glorified? What is it that we do? What is our purpose that really brings that about? It is to show forth the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is how glory is brought to God, showing forth the second person, the God-man, of who he is and what he has done. And that is what this verse is praying for. See, this is what Christ is praying for here in verse 23. He's saying, I'm praying that the world may know that the Father has sent the Son and that has loved them as thou hast loved me. Oh, maybe that the world may see who Christ is and what he has done. That he would see that through their lives, through their service. Oh, why Christ is praying that we would be living lives that Christ would be seen in us. Oh, by us who are secure and being sanctified. That we who have been made perfect, that we have showed forth the truth of Jesus Christ, the mighty, the safe. You see, when we live holy lives, as we would live as Christ would have us live, as we would live as Christ is praying for us to live, we will show forth him in our lives. J.C. Ryle rightly noted, he said this, people may refuse to see the truth of our arguments, but they cannot avoid the evidence of a holy life. Well, I think we all can confess that our service for God has often fallen short in this regard, that we have not testified of Christ by our lives. Oh, how we've often failed in what we say. We've often failed in what we haven't said. Oh, we need great wisdom. We need great help from above. Oh, we struggle. What a struggle if left to do it alone. But you see, from these verses, we see that Christ is so interested in our success. Christ is so interested in our growth and holiness, so interested in us bringing forth glory to the Father, to the Son, and to the Spirit, that he prays for us in our service for him. Oh, how should it thrill our souls today that the God of heaven is interested in us, concerned, and always praying for us. Oh, whatever work we'd have to do for the Lord, how amazing it is to know that Christ is praying for our success. Oh, it should thrill us. It should encourage us today. That Christ prays for us specifically. He prays for our security. He prays for our sanctification. And he prays for our service. Our Savior prays for us. Oh, may we spend much time dwelling on this wonderful reality. And be strengthened by it. Be encouraged that Christ prays for us. Oh, may we take this word, or may the Lord take this word. May apply it to each and every one of our hearts today. We're going to close our meeting, please, with the singing of the hymn 426. Ask that question, does Jesus care? When my heart is pained too deeply for mirth or song, as the burdens press and the cares distress, and the days grow weary and long. And of course, it reminds us, even as we consider the one who prays for us, of course, oh yes, he cares. I know he cares. His heart is touched with my grief. Oh, Christ cares. He cares so much to die for us. He cares so much that he continues to pray for us. Hymn 426, after the introduction, standing as we sing. Let's all stand together, please.
Oh, yes, he
God and Father, we rejoice that our Savior cares. Oh Lord, help us. Help us when we're weary. Help us, Lord, when we're cast down. Help us, Lord, when we're like Elijah, Lord, and we feel like we're the only one. Lord, help us to know that Thou art there. Oh Lord, and that Thou dost care for us. Oh Lord, take each one to their homes in safety now. Be with us, Lord, in the remainder of this day. Bring us back into the sound of Thy gospel here this evening to consider again just how much our Savior cares. Lord, be with us. If there's any amongst us who know not Christ, oh Lord, arrest them where they stand here in this moment. May they, Lord, not be able to leave this place without coming to a knowledge of Christ as their Savior. Oh Lord, hear our prayers. Hear Thy Son's prayers for us. Oh, be with us, bless us, we pray. We do ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.